the Lord will create in us righteous, purified tongue. Tongue that is seasoned. Tongue that Holy Spirit has taken over, that is controlling. Tongue that will edify the church, benefit the church. This is the type of tongue that I want. I want you to commit yourself into the hands of the Lord, that God, create this tongue in me. Lord, tongue of the learned, awesome tongue that will lift up those that are in miry clay, that will bring comfort and consolation. Let us commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. That God, help me. I need your help. I can't do it alone. Let us pray. We need more of prayer for God to help us in this journey that we are back on. That we will not just run in vain, but we will do perfect will of God with our tongue. Our Lord and our God, we thank you. We worship you because you are the everlasting Father. Lord, the choir sang the song, and we present our tongue before you today. Emmanuel, wash our tongue. Emmanuel, cleanse our tongue. Emmanuel, purge our tongue. Emmanuel, purify our tongue and take over our tongue by your Spirit, so that you use our tongue at your will, in Jesus' name. Father, speak to our hearts, and let your word find a dwelling place in our hearts. Let your word bring great transformation upon our tongue, our communication, our expression, our relationship, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We bless the name of the Lord for another opportunity to listen to the word of God today. And as you can see, we are looking at the tamed tongue and the transformed life. The tamed tongue and the transformed life. The tamed tongue and the transformed life. The issue of tongue is very, very interesting in the Bible. The word tongue spread over the Bible from Old Testament to the New Testament. And it's either you see it as a singular or you see it as a plural. And that is telling you that this topic that we are looking at is very crucial. If, as you ask, is anybody here this morning that not have tongue? Everybody will say no. All of us, we have tongue. Inability to have tongue means that we are out of the system. We are not existing. It means that we are gone. But since all of us have tongue, the children, the youth, the adults, the men, the women, it means that this topic that the Lord is giving unto us is very crucial in this time of the December retreat. And I pray that what the Lord has in mind for us, we will benefit it maximally in Jesus' name. We are starting with Emmanuel. The theme of the retreat is Emmanuel, God with us. But what will make God to be with us? That is the first question we want to look at. If God is going to be with us, and if he's going to be our Emmanuel all the time, number one, we must recognize him as our God. Number two, we must listen to him and obey him as our Emmanuel. We must do whatsoever he tells us to do. And we are going to start with Emmanuel as we look at this message today. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 to 37. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 to 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, connects our tongue with our heart. All of them, they are working together. And he said, when the earth is full, when the earth is full, and he speaketh out. And what the man speaketh out really, really matters. Is it positive words or negative words that the earth is speaking out when the earth is full? A good man out of the good treasure of the earth bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Whatsoever you say from your mouth, it determines who you are. If you belong to God or you belong to Satan, whatsoever you project out from your mouth is showing us the kind of things that is dwelling in you, the kind of things that you possess. Either God is in you or Satan is in you. But I say unto you that every idle word, worthless word, unfruitful words, barren words that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now our tongue is connected with the day of judgment, when we will stand before the throne of God to give account of how we live our life. So what we use with our tongue and what we use our tongue to do will determine our destination at the end of our journey. And that is why it is important for us to listen to Emmanuel as he unveiled the mystery of tongue to us today. They shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. We are going to give account of how we use our tongue. For by their words thou shalt be justified. That is the positive side. By these words of our mouth, we preach with the words, we exhort the church, we establish the church, we comfort people with the words, we shall be justified. And by their words thou shalt be condemned, the same tongue. One member of the body, but with many functionalities, with many operations, with many directions. It depends on how you use your tongue. I pray that the Lord will help us to use our tongue in the way of the Lord, in Jesus' name. We will look at Proverbs chapter 18. In the book of Proverbs chapter 18, we have the Lord caused contention to cease and parted between the mighty. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21, sorry. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. This is confirming what Emmanuel said. Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, our Redeemer. What he said that we have just read in Matthew, this Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21 confirm it. The Lord said, if you use it positively, you will be justified. If you use it negatively, you will be condemned. And in the book of Proverbs verse 21, death, negative, death and life, positive, are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Either you love it for the negative, you will eat the fruit thereof. That's consequence. And if you use it in the positive, you will eat the fruit thereof. That is what the Lord is telling us today. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. Let us turn our Bible to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'll be reading verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, though that want to have long life, though that want to live long, let him refrain, let him withdraw himself, his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. He that will live long, don't allow your tongue to cut your life short. Don't allow your tongue to send you to the graveyard before your time. He that will live long should refrain in using their tongue for evil. In James chapter 3, James chapter 3, verse 5 to 8. In James chapter 3, from verse 5 to 8. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and set it on fire, the cause of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Today, study center on a small body member that can kill or build a lie. It is the career of death and lie. Career of death and lie. We must reflect on our past lives and how we have used this little member. Had we not kept this little member called tongue in the past, what would we like to correct or change now? If you have used your tongue negatively, you have used your tongue to pull down, you have used your tongue to destroy, you have used your tongue to discourage, what are you going to correct now? Concerning the way you have used your tongue in the past, the Holy Writ urges us to keep back our tongue from all ungodly actions. In our text in the book of James, the tongue was associated with fire. And you know the function of fire? Destruction. Mass destruction with fire. And the word appeared four times. If you look at the book of James, four times, fire, 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 you will see. And that is a strong description of what the little member of our mouth is. As men can tame animals, some people, they are rearing crocodile in their house. They try to tame crocodile. They put animal in zoological garden. They tame them. But only God can tame the ungodly tongues. It is when the grace of God come upon you as a sinner, and you give your life to Christ, you surrender your life, that is when you can begin to overcome the evil of the tongue that you carry all about. We are going to look at the positive and the use of the tongue. When we talk about its carrier of death and life, as the book of Proverbs told us, you will see that in book of James chapter 1 verse 26, the Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Brethren, if we don't watch over our tongue, our service is in vain. Our religiosity is in vain. And our tongue can useless all our labor, all our efforts, all our input in the kingdom. Our small member in our mouth can useless everything. Look at the life of Apostle Peter. Apostle Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 and 22. In verse 16, Apostle Peter, disciple of Christ. And if you are a disciple, you said, I'm born again. I'm sanctified by the grace of God. Everything is going well with me. You still need to wash over your tongue. Let us see the case of Apostle Peter. He has direct contact with our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a focal disciple. He's a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Simon Peter answered and said, when Jesus asked them, who did the man say I am? And he said, you are the Son of God. And Simon answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Emmanuel, the Son of the living God. Then Peter took him in verse 22. Look at the dynamic of the use of tongue. In verse 16, he used his tongue positively. In verse 22, he used his tongue negatively. That is why we need to be careful as a Christian also. It doesn't matter if you have used your tongue very well in the past, that you are going to use it correctly today. You need to be watchful. This happened to Apostle Peter. In verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And Jesus rebuked him. In verse 16, Jesus commended him. Jesus applauded him. In verse 22, Jesus condemned him. Jesus rebuked him. Jesus called him Satan. In verse 22, brethren, if you have not been using your tongue well, the Lord is rebuking you. If you have been using your tongue well, the Lord is appraising you. Let us look into the family, the family of Nabal and Abigail. How did they use their tongue? Husband and wife in the same house. Husband and wife in the same house. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 4 to 13, you will see the case of Nabal there, how he used his tongue. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity. They respected him. They said, peace be both to thee, and peace be to their house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now the shepherd which were with us, we ought them not, neither was there aught missing unto them. All the while they were in Carmel, they were doing all this faithful to Nabal, and Mirabah did not know, but the servant of Nabal knew about it, as they are young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in their hearts. They make reference. We are not cooking up story. We just want to ask you that you should help us and give us some gift for survivor. For we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to the hand, unto the servant, and to their son David. They were not proud. They were not imposing the gift on him. They said, whatsoever that comes to your mind, give. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and said, let us see how husband Nabal used his tongue. And Nabal answered David's servant and said, who is David? Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away, every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? You don't know when they be, but they say you should ask your servant so that you can know them more. So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those things. And David said unto his men, guide ye on every man his sword. How many times your word I see anger, I see provocation. How many times your words or the words of your mouth, I see destruction. And they guarded on every man his sword. And David also guarded on his sword. There went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. They want to go and destroy the family, wreck the family, wipe away the family. And let us see Abigail, how she used her own tongue, the wife of Nabal, husband and wife in the house. But God wants husband and wife to be on the same page. Don't say that it is because my husband is this, is that. You also can be righteous as your husband. Husband also can be righteous as the wife. We need to be on the same page when it comes to the use of our tongue. And when, in verse 23, and when Abigail, that is the first Samuel, Book of Samuel that we have just read now, I'm reading verse 23 to 25. And I read there, and when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord. Look at the use of word. Sought word, turn away anger. Upon me, let this iniquity be, and let the handmaid, I pray thee. Nabal started with, who is David? And look at Abigail. He said, let this iniquity be on me. I pray thee, speak in the audience and hear the words of the handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is a fool, and he behaved like a fool. So he is, Nabal is his name, and fully is with him. But I that had me saw not the young man of my Lord, I will have prevented this. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as the soul liveth, seeing the Lord has withholding thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thy own hand, now let thy enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as neighbor. And when you read down in verse 35, David said, so David received of her that which he had brought him. At the end of the conversation of Nabal, then he want to They want to go and wipe off his family. But at the conversation, at the end of the conversation of Abigail, they want to make sure that they were received. They were received. They were received. And that is what he said. And so David received of her hand that which she has brought in, and said unto her, go up in peace to thy house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. I have accepted thy person. We can see how husband and wife use their mouth. Let us look at a professional. Let us look at a soldier, how he used his mouth to his own detriment. And that is an Amalekite in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2 to 10, and verse 13, and 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 2 to 5. And it came to pass on third day that behold, a man came out of the camp from the Saul with his clothes rent and hat upon his head. And so it was so when he came to David that he fell on the head and did obeisance. He has cooked sorely together. To come and deliver the story to King David. And David said unto him, from whence comest thou, brethren? If you are consistent in using your tongue, but when you are interrogated, are you going to be consistent? This Amalekite was not consistent when David was interrogating him. And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. That is correct. There's no lie in that. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered that the people have fled from the battle, and many of the people are also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man that told him said, as an apple by chance upon Mount Gilboa. Behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariot and horsemen follow hard after him. If he can mention all these things, it means that he was somewhere, he was watching the scene at the battle. And when he looked behind him, he saw and called unto me, and I answered, here I am. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. Lies has begun here now. He said unto me again, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish is come upon me. Behold, my life is yet all in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he should not live after that. He was falling. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and I brought them either unto you, my Lord. My Lord. Let us see what Saul said. Is this cannot be true? Is Saul mentioned to this the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 2 to 5, help us to discover that this man just misused his tongue and he has lied in verse 2. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his son, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Meshishua, Saul's son, and the battle went Saul against Saul. And the archer hit him, and he was so wounded of the archers. Then Saul said Saul unto his armor bearer, it is not the Amalekite, it was Saul's armor bearer. Draw their sword and thrust me through therewith. Let this uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me, but his armor bearer will not, for he was so afraid. Therefore, Saul took his sword and fell upon it. So Saul killed himself, not this liar that killed him. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. God has given some of us a peculiar nature, but we are not satisfied with the nature that the Lord has given us about the speed of our tongue. And we are so discomfort that we are not comfortable. At times we are even ashamed of this nature that the Lord has given unto us. Let us see the case of Moses, and let us see what we can learn from this prophet of God. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of a slow of speech, and of a slow tongue. And if we go to James chapter 1, verse 19 to 20, you will see that this is what some people are praying to have. Slow tongue, so that their mouth will not be running faster than their brain. And that is what the Lord has given Moses, but Moses was not comfortable with it. In James chapter 1, verse 19 to 20, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. And what, brethren, let us say it together. If you are there, what follows?
Slow
to speak and slow to wrath. And slow of speech is what Moses had. For the wrath of man walketh not the righteousness of God. You don't forget the case of Haman. You know, this is how people commit sin. They see and it reflects, transfer mercy to their hearts or their heart conceived, whichever comes first. Either the heart conceived or they see, and the next thing is they need to use tongue to accomplish and to complete their sin process. And that is why we need to be careful with our tongue. Amen. He cooked story against the Jews, and he told the king that they are causing damages in the kingdom and they need to die. In Esther chapter 3, verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5 to 13, that they need to die. They need to die. And if not because of the intervention of God, they will have run into trouble. What about our children? Let us teach our children on how to use their tongue. This generation, 21st century children, they talk anyhow. They behave anyhow. They talk to elderly people anyhow. They react anyhow. Let us tell them. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. We saw the case of Elisha, the prophet of God there. And he went off from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bad head. Go up, thou bad head. And they turned into song. They were making jest against the prophet of the Lord. Brethren, let us sit down our children. Let us talk to them by the grace of God so that they will know how to use their tongue. And they turn back and look on them and curse them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tear 40 and two children. It was a great loss because of the misuse of their tongue. It was a great loss. What are we talking about today? We are talking about tongue, our tongue, the small member of the body. And there's a statistic in Life Dental Care. They told us a little about this tongue we are talking about today. That the tongue of a male is longer than the tongue of female. The length of a male is 8.5 centimeters long, and the female is just 7.9 centimeters. And the longest tongue that has been recorded in the Guinness Book of Record was 10.1 centimeters. And I tried to take ruler this morning, and I look at my middle finger, and I measure it. It's longer. Is 10 point something above 10 centimeters. So tongue is just a small part of the body. Tongue is extremely agile and quick. It can produce more than 90 words per minute. That is what the research told us. They from NCBI, they said we can produce 90 words in a minute. And it will not be possible for us to use our tongue. And if you are familiar with the social media, you see some trending things about tongue, especially on Instagram. It was there that the tongue has no bones, but is strong enough to break a heart. Tongue has no bone, but is strong enough to break a heart. How many hearts of people have you broken? How many hearts of the people have you broken? Another trending thing on social media is a tongue has no ears, but it is amazing how often it is heard. It has no ear, but when you speak out, yeah, people can hear, but tongue itself has no ear. Small fire, small fire. The Bible told us in the book of James that it's a fire. Small fire like a matchstick can light a large forest or a great stack of wood. When you spark it, it can degenerate. The fire consumes everything that is in its environment. I pray that the Lord Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. And that is why we are talking about tongue. And we want to look at the portrait of a tameless tongue and a graceless life. How did it look like? And as we are looking at the Word of God and we are discussing together, you need to be looking at your own tongue also. That which of this description befits me? Which of this description befits me? The predicament of a tameless tongue and a graceless life can amount to suffering, moral failure, severe experience, and sudden death. The traits of a tameless tongue and a graceless life are itemized below. When you open Bible to the book of Proverbs chapter 17 verse 4, you will see naughty tongue there. Naughty. When you tell a child that you are a naughty child, the child understands the message that you are passing across to him or her. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. A naughty tongue. When you go to book of Job, in the book of Job, it talks a lot about tongues. And in the book of Job chapter 20 verse 16, you will see there poisonous tongue. The Bible compare the poison of evil tongue with the poison of a snake. In verse 16, it shall suck the poison of asp. The viper's tongue shall slay him. Many people have slain a lot of people with their tongue. And if you go to Psalm 64, in Psalm 64 verse 3, you are going to see bitter tongue there. Do you have a bitter tongue, my brother and my sister? In verse 3, who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Bitter tongue, both the tongue, the mouth, the teeth, they are working together. And if you have a bitter tongue, it will produce bitter words. And bitter tongue, what kind of tongue do you have? In Psalm 52, verse 2. In Psalm 52, verse 2, the Bible told us of another type of tongue, the mischievous tongue. In verse 2, 52, verse 2, that tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, walking deceitfully. You know that razor cuts. Some people's tongue cuts. It cuts life. It cuts life. It cuts relationship. What kind of tongue do you have? Do you have a cutting tongue? That when you speak, you are cutting life. You are cutting situation. You are cutting circumstances. In Psalm 12 verse 3, we see proud tongue. The Lord shall cut off all flattering it, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. You cannot say with one person with proud tongue for 1 second before you identify them. They will be talking about what they cannot achieve in the coming 10 years. That is proud tongue for you. In the book of James chapter 3, we see boastful tongue there. Boastful tongue, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth. That is the control in the mouth of horses. They use raisins to control horses. They use bit and they use bridle to control horses so that it will not misbehave. That the Bible is telling us, behold, we put bit in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. But when in verse 2, for in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in words, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. So if you want to say you are holy, you must be a man and woman that can control his tongue, that can regulate by the grace of God upon your life and by the control of the Holy Spirit upon you. You can regulate what you say. Not everything that comes to your mind that you release out. Those are the people the Lord is looking for. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19, we are going to see deceitful, we are going to see crafty, we are going to see lying tongue there. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. A lying tongue, it won't last long. It's just for a moment. It's just for a moment. It doesn't last long at all. The lying tongue in the book of Zephaniah. In the book of Zephaniah, Zephaniah is before Zechariah. In the book of Zephaniah, we want to check there, verse 3 and 13. In the book of Zephaniah, we want to read there, chapter 3, verse 13. Zephaniah chapter 3 in verse 13. Zephaniah chapter 3 in verse 3, in verse 13. And thou wentest forth for the salvation of their people, even for salvation with their anointed. Thou wouldest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. In I was reading Habakkuk. Let us read Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 13. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. That is the standard of God. The remnant of Deeper Life Bible Church, the members of Deeper Life Bible Church, they shall not speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. If nobody will make us afraid, if we are going to claim this promise from the Lord, then we must be on the guard against our tongue. We must watch how we use our tongue. And let us read Jeremiah chapter 9. In Jeremiah chapter 9, you will see how people use their tongue, how they use their tongue in verse 5. And they will deceive everyone, his neighbor. When you see unruly evil, unclean tongue, you will see deception with it, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and worry themselves to commit iniquity. They have taught their tongue. They are practicing like a professional, that this is how I'm going to use my tongue. They train their tongue. You can discover how terrible and horrible it was. They train their tongue to use it in a wrong way, against the will of God. They train their tongue to use it against the plan and purpose of God. We see cursing tongue in Psalm 10, verse 7. Cursing tongue in verse 10, verse 7. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Deeper Life coming to the church, but they still curse their children. When their children misbehave at all, they curse them. And you are cursing the future of your children. You need to be very, very careful, so that it will, what you are saying will not affect your children in the future. There is power of death and life in your tongue that you are using to curse. We see smiting tongue in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18. Then said he, come and let us defy the Pharisees against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue. They just plan it, that this Jeremiah, he has prophesied against us. He has prophesied against our city. Because of that, let us smite him with our tongue. Are you smiting people with your tongue? And how many people have you defiled with your tongue in Psalm 52, verse 4? Psalm 52, verse 4. In Psalm 52, verse 4. Thou lovest all the foreign words. O thou deceitful tongue. The foreign words. O thou deceitful tongue. What kind of tongue do you have and use? That is the question you need to answer today. And that is the question the Lord is asking you. What kind of tongue do you have? Is it unruly tongue, poisonous tongue, curses tongue, smiting tongue? What kind of tongue do you have and you use? We want to look at the possibility of a tame tongue and a grateful life. We have read that it is only God that can tame our tongue. That's nothing. If you have not given your life to Christ, there's no effort you can make that will make you to have a graceful, a gracious tongue. It is only God that can do it. And that is why it is important for you to come to Emmanuel that can help you out. And his name shall be called Jesus. For he shall deliver his people from their sin. He is going to deliver us also from unruly evil. He's going to deliver us from polluted tongue. He's going to deliver us. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. But Jesus beheld them. The Lord is beholding your tongue. Each time you are using your tongue is rolling. And you are talking. Nobody is seeing you when you are fuming. But the Lord is beholding you. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All the time you have made several efforts, you've tried to control your tongue and you couldn't control it, the Lord is watching you. And the Lord is telling you, don't give up. It can only be possible by Emmanuel. Run unto him. He's the only one that can do it. The Lord is calling you that come unto me. And he's going to turn your tongue around. He's going to change your situation and circumstances. The Lord is calling you. He wants to transform your life. He wants to change your situation. He wants to change your circumstances. The Lord is calling you that with him, all things are possible. And with him, nothing shall be impossible. Just cast the burden of your unruly tongue unto the Lord, and he will make things right for you. In Proverbs chapter 18. And I'm reading there verse 21. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We need to be reciting it all over and all over of our life. That this little member in my mouth is a carrier of death and is a carrier of life. How am I going to use it in a positive way that I will have life instead of death? Let us see Isaiah chapter 50. In the book of Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. The Lord God had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in the season. Look at that place, my brother and my sister. He said, the Lord God had given me. It is only God that can give you a tamed tongue. It's only God that can help you to live a graceful life. It is only God. Isaiah admitted it. He said, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth money by money. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned to know how to speak, to know how to communicate, to know how to exhort, to know how to use my tongue in a positive way. The Lord has given me. The Lord is interested in how we use our tongues and is willing to tame the untamed tongue. In contrast to an evil tongue given to curses, a blessed tongue imparts life. Tamed tongues are priceless as illustrated by the scripture. And this is the type of tongue you need to desire. Bridle tongue in Psalm 39 verse 1, wise tongue in Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4, and Proverbs chapter 15 verse 2, sanctified tongue. In Isaiah chapter 6 verse 7, awesome tongue, complete, holy, righteous tongue. In Proverbs chapter 15 verse 4, righteous tongue and praying tongue. This is very, very interesting. The Lord wants us to use our tongue to pray instead of gossiping. The Lord wants us to use our tongue to establish soul instead of idleness. The Lord wants us to use our tongue to call upon his name. He wants us to use our tongue to pray in Psalm 66. Psalm 66, I quickly read verse 17. I cried unto him with my mouth. and it was extolled with my tongue. Extolling tongue, you use your tongue to praise God. Truthful tongue, you tell people the truth and nothing but the truth. You are not like Amalekite that is cooking up story in order to gain favor from King David. Do you have a tame tongue? That is the question you need to ask. Do you have a tame tongue? As we are preparing to pray, we want to look at the prophets of a transformed tongue and a gracious life. If we allow God to walk upon our tongue, what is going to be our gain? And what is going to be the gain of the people that have associated with us? That is what we want to look at. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer, the only one of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. You know, when we talk about profit all the time, we quickly talk about money, getting rich, getting prosper. The Lord teaches you to use your tongue to profit, to use your tongue in a positive way, to build the house of God, establish the kingdom of God, to build your home, to build your career in a positive way. The Lord uses your tongue. Is the one that is in control of your tongue. That is what we see here. God say the Lord, the Redeemer, the only one of Israel. I am the Lord that God which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. It is the Lord that teacheth you to profit. Profit with your tongue. Brethren, don't be suffering loss with your tongue anymore. Make sure that whatsoever you are saying is bringing profit into the kingdom of God. It's bringing profit into your life and your family. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35. And this I speak for your own profit. The Lord has gathered us together to teach us about tongue for our own profit, for our own gain. Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Brethren, if you are going to serve God without distraction, you must know how to keep your tongue. If you say you are a religious person and you don't keep your tongue, your religion is in vain. And if you say you are righteous and you don't keep your tongue, it is not possible, because the tongue that is not also awesome will defile your whole body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm reading verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with the manifestation of the Spirit. The choir sang the song for us that God should take control of our tongue and use it as He will. Are you going to surrender your tongue to the Lord today for the Lord to take over and for the Lord to use your tongue as He will? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? That is what the Lord wants us to be using our tongue to do. We use our tongue for revelation. We unfail the revelation the Lord has given unto us, unto the church of God, unto our family, unto the community. We unfail. The Lord wants us to use our tongue with knowledge, with prophesying and doctrine. The Lord did not want us to be idle and to be wasting what we do with our tongue. The transformed tongue and a gracious life can be interpreted as the idea of using our words and action to bring about positive change in our lives and the lives of others. When you have a transformed tongue, it will profit you, it will profit your immediate family, it will profit the church of God, and it will profit the community, the society where you find yourself. It's going to profit everyone there. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 25, the Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. It is when we are transformed that this creature, this blessing, can come to pass in our life. Words from awesome tongue have profited many who were downhearted and weary of life. Besides, it has delivered many from death. You can use your life to comfort people, to encourage people, to lift up people from the miry clay of life. Suppose the tongue of saints are established in awesomeness, In that case, it results in the salvation of sinner. We can use our tongue to preach the gospel, bring men into the kingdom, bring women into the kingdom, bring children into the kingdom, bring the youth into the kingdom, health to the sick, upliftment to those in despair, preservation of the soul of believer, and inch free fellowship among the brethren. When we keep our tongue, we will be free from confusion in the fellowship. We will be free from fighting in the fellowship. We will be free from contention in the fellowship. It is when we don't keep our tongue that church will be chaotic. A church that is full with men and women, with brethren, believers that don't bridle their tongue, that church will be full of confusion. The profit of a transformed tongue is peace, purity, and power. As we sing that song, if you need peace in your life, rest of mind, and you want purity, righteousness, and you need power, you must be a man and a woman that keep their tongue. That keep their tongue. As we are preparing to pray, I want us to read this scripture in Psalm 12, verse 4. Psalm 12, verse 4. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Are you among this group of people? They say, what are they preaching to me today? I want my tongue, I'm the carrier of the tongue. I sleep with it, I wake up with it, I can use it as I like. Some people will tell you, I'm the owner of my mouth, I can use it anyhow. My brother, my sister, you can't use it anyhow. If you want to use it anyhow, it will take you to hell. If you want to use your tongue anyhow, it will cut your life short. If you want to use your tongue anyhow, it will affect your relationship with the people. And this is the type of the people that are not ready to surrender to the will of God, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? We don't need the help of the Holy Spirit. They say, who is Lord over us? We don't need the help of God. In Job chapter 6, verse 24, teach me. This is the type of people I want you to join. This is the group that the Lord wants you to join. Teach me, and I will hold my tongue. I will hold my tongue and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. All the areas where I have misused my tongue, Lord, show them to me today so that I will repent. And I will not go back to those misusing of the tongue anymore. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 30 to 34. Jeremiah suffered a lot from the scourge of tongue. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 30 to 32. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, say the Lord, that steal my word, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, say the Lord, that use their tongue and say, he said. It is people are very far. They say, the Lord told me. Are you sure? The Lord speak to his children, but you must be sure. Don't just say the Lord said when the Lord did not say. So people are too quick to say, oh, I heard the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me. Behold, I am against the prophet, say the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he said. The Lord said. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, say the Lord. And do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies. God is against them and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit these people at all, say the Lord. You should not be among the camp of these people, but you should be among this camp. In Job chapter 6 verse 30, is there iniquity in my tongue? That is the question you want to ask God when you are praying today. Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? When I'm using my tongue and I'm speaking, does it mean I cannot discern that I'm overshooting? I'm speaking out of scope. My tongue is running ahead of my brain. The Lord said we should be able to ask ourselves this searching question today. In Job chapter 27, verse 4, I told you that Job spoke a lot about tongue. My lips shall not speak wickedness. That should be your resolution. My lips shall not speak wickedness. nor my tongue utter deceit. And John Wesley, he crowned it all. He said, the wicked will gnaw their tongues for anguish and pain. They will curse God and look upward. There the dog of hell, pride, malice, revenge, rage, horror, despair, continually defaults them. All the people that will not repent, the fool souls, words that deliver death and destruction. Don't be a fool. The wise souls, words that result in life. Be a wise man and a wise woman. False teachers, sow words with a seed of death and destruction. All of them, they are using tongue. And the ambassador of Christ proclaim life. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. What kind of tongue did you possess? Brothers and sisters, it is time to pray. It is time to call upon the name of the Lord. What kind of tongue do you possess? How did you use your tongue? How many lives have you destroyed with your tongue? How many homes have you broken with your tongue? How are you using your tongue? The carrier of death and life, is it positive or negative? Are you an Amalekite that cook up sorry? Are you a neighbor that have no regard for people, talk to people anyhow? Are you an Abigail that's very conscious, very respectful when they use their tongue? And a child that is making mockery of elderly people that need to die suddenly because the prophet of God caused them. Where did you belong? Please, Pastor, you can take the floor.
We are still in the mode of prayer. The message has come. And the question is, what kind of tongue do you have? What kind of tongue do you have? Pastor read a text to us, and then he asked the question, is there iniquity in your tongue? What kind of tongue do you have? What kind of tongue do you possess? What kind of tongue do you have, my brother, my sister? Is it a tongue that crafts lies? What kind of tongue do you have? We have seen the various kinds of tongue, cursing tongue. We have seen it. Is that a kind of tongue you possess? We read from the scriptures in Matthew chapter 12, and the word of God is asking us, what are the fruits that come out of your tongue? And the fruits that come out, there's always a direct correlation between your tongue and your heart. Whatsoever you spew out of your mouth indicates the state of your heart. You are calling upon the Lord this day, and you are asking the Lord. Just as the psalmist says, search me, O Lord. You are telling the Lord, search me, O Lord, and reveal unto me the kind of tongue that I have. Even this day, O Lord, I have come. Perhaps you know the kind of tongue that you have. The Lord has revealed it unto you as the message was going on. You are going before in all humility, you are telling him, oh Lord, this is the tongue that I possess. But Lord, I have seen the kind of damage this tongue has brought into my life. I have seen the kind of death situation this kind of tongue has brought into my life. Lord, I have come onto your mountain, oh Lord, for the exchange today. I have come, oh Lord, to return that poisonous tongue, oh Lord, for a tongue that is tamed, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord did it in the case of Isaiah. As he caused the seraphims to fly and to pick the coal of the altar and to touch his tongue. You are telling the Lord, oh Lord, just as you did for Isaiah, oh Lord, I pray, may you touch even my tongue also today. Lord, I have returned that poisonous tongue. I have returned that lying tongue. I have returned that tongue that is always separating good brothers. I have returned that tongue unto your throne even today. And Lord, in exchange, I want a tongue that is tame. In exchange, Lord, I want a tongue that is under the control of the divine power of the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. You are calling upon the name of God this moment, and you are asking, oh Lord, may you cause this divine exchange to happen. Lord, this tank, oh Lord, instead of bringing life to me, Lord, is bringing death. Lord, I bring it. Lord, I yield it. Lord, I submit it in the mighty name of Jesus. By our tongue, justification can come. By our tongue, condemnation can come. You are calling upon the name of God. You are telling God, Lord, enough of the condemnation that Father God has come my way as a result of the usage of my tongue, as a result of the tongue that I possess. Oh God, may you help me. Lord, I've brought it, oh Lord, to exchange it. Lord, take it over, oh Lord, and give me a new tongue. A tongue, oh Lord, that is under the control of the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. We are still praying. Brethren, through the message, we heard that watchfulness is very key. Watchfulness is very key. This tongue cannot bring forth good water, sweet water from the fountain today, and tomorrow it is bringing bitter water. We saw the case of Peter in Matthew chapter 16, where we read the earlier verses in verse 16, where he was talking about who Jesus Christ was. He said, "You are the Christ," and Jesus Christ applauded him for such an answer and said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you." But what do we see in verse 21 and verse 22? The same Peter using his mouth to curtail what the Lord himself has purposed from the beginning of creation. You want to tell the Lord, "Lord, help me to be careful. Set a watch over my tongue. Set a watch over my tongue. Set a watch over my tongue. Tongue, oh Lord, be Father under your control. My Lord, humans are able to tame animals. Humans are able to control animals. But Lord, this tongue, oh Lord, in spite of Father, Lord, the kind of watch that has been set over it can never be tamed by man. Lord, I yield my tongue to you. You are yielding your tongue to the control of the Holy Spirit. And you are asking that the Spirit of the Lord will take control over your tongue. And the Lord will renew your tongue. The Lord will give you a new tongue. Oh, the tongue of jesting, the tongue of joking, the Lord will take it away. The Lord will give you a new tongue, a tame tongue, a tame tongue, a considerate tongue, a tongue that will chew the word and see that, oh, if this was said to me, how would I have taken it? You are calling upon God. You are asking God for a considerate tongue. Call upon the name of God, that the Lord himself will help. He is the only one that can help us. He is the only one that can help us. And that is why we have come to him, and we are totally dependent on him. And we are asking that every evil tongue, or the naughty tongue, or the poisonous tongue, or the bitter tongue, the Lord will take away. All the tongues that have been devouring and are tearing apart the church of God and are tearing apart families, we are praying and we are exchanging it. We are giving it to the Lord, and we are asking for a tame tongue, a tongue that builds, a tongue that builds, a tongue that builds. We are praying that the Lord will give us renewed tongues in the mighty name of Jesus. Not a smiting tongue, a renewed tongue, not a smiting tongue, a tongue that pulls people together. We are praying and we are asking that this is the tongue, oh Lord, that we are desiring of you, not a lying tongue. We saw the effect of a lying tongue in the life of that young Amalekite. It brought death unto him. It brought death unto him. It brought death unto him. You do have the tongue that is always going around and telling stories of how good you are and how evil others are. You are praying, you are telling God, "Oh Lord, I have brought this tongue. Oh Lord, I'm coming. Oh Lord, I need a tame tongue. I need a renewed tongue. A tongue, oh Lord, from heaven. A tongue, oh Lord, from heaven. Every tongue, oh Lord, that I possess, that Father, Lord, is under the control of the enemy. Lord, today I have brought it unto you, the mighty God who is able to transform my tongue and to renew my tongue. Today I have brought it in the mighty name of Jesus. Give me a fruitful tongue. Give me a tongue that is filled with truth in the mighty name of Jesus. Help that, Lord, anytime I speak, oh Lord, people will see the fruit of godliness in my life. People will see the fruit of holiness in my life. People will see the fruit of purity in my life in the mighty name of Jesus. Call upon God. You are telling the Lord that, oh God, the fruit of a tame tongue, may they be seen in my life. The profit, O Lord, that the tame tongue brings, O Lord, may it be seen in my life from today and onward in the mighty name of Jesus. May my tongue build. May my tongue build in your church. May my tongue build. Father, Lord, in my home, may my tongue build in the mighty name of Jesus. In my office, may my tongue build in the precious name of Jesus. Father, wherever I find myself, may my tongue, O Lord, draw people into your kingdom and not to scatter, O Lord, I pray thee in the mighty name of Jesus. We are praying, you are telling the Lord, O Lord, give me a tongue that turns away wrath. A tongue, O Lord, that turns away wrath. Not, O Lord, a tongue, O Lord, that engenders wrath. Not a tongue, O Lord, that sows bitterness. Not a tongue, O Lord, that sows division. O Lord, a tongue, O Lord, that builds and unites. May you give unto me even this day, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, call this divine exchange to happen, O God, in my life, even today, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Father, we thank and bless you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord. It has come in a form of rebuke. It has come in a form of correction. Lord, we have yielded ourselves to it, and we have opened our mouth unto you, and we have sought your help. Because none of us, O Lord, can be able, O Lord, to do this. You are the only one. Lord, we submit ourselves, O God, under your hands, under your microscope today, as you have revealed unto us the various kind of tongues that we possess, which has not brought glory to you, which has not brought life unto us, but has brought death and has brought confusion and has brought division. Father, we are yielding it unto you even today. We are praying, O Lord, take them over. And Lord, in their place, Lord, a truthful tongue. A tongue, O Lord, that is under the full control of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray and plead this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we pray, may you give unto us this tongue. And Lord, I pray that key, may you be there to regulate it. When to open, when not to open. A word in season. A word in season. Lord, when we did not talk, Lord, may you keep our mouth shut in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray and ask for your grace, O Lord. Give us this grace. Keep our mouths under lock and key until you desire us to speak, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. As we continue, we pray your presence to continue with us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.